Hi, my name is Ben Witkowski, and welcome to the Universal Language of Music podcast. Today's episode is the podcast edition of Episode 9, The Glory of Live Music. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Episode 9, the Universal Language of Music podcast. We are really rattling through these episodes. It's good to have you here. This is a casual discussion about all things music. For those of you who have not experienced this before, I'm just going to riff, talk about things that I like in the music era. We started with a little bit of a history of music and how it's important in culture. Origins of this phrase, music being the universal language. Looked at some science and fancy things around music and what it does to our brain. And now we are just going to celebrate everything that is good about live music and performing and listening and being in a crowd and being at a festival and just these magic moments that come from all of that. But first, why not? I might as well just recap on my fortnight. No one wants to hear this, but I have the floor, so I'm going to tell you. I, again, for those who don't know, I live in the Pilbara, out in the middle of nowhere, and in the northwest of Australia. And I have to travel about 450 kilometers from town to town. And when I go to the town where my house is not at, I stay in this like share house thing, right? It's like a share house, it's called a transit house, the tranny house, and in the transit house, people come and go all the time and you just like book the room for, I don't know, a few nights. You get a bedroom and then there's like a communal bathroom kind of kitchen. No, there's no communal bathroom. You get a bedroom and a bathroom and then there's like a communal kitchen and sort of washing laundromat area. Anyway, so I put my washing in the washing machine and I think I went out to make dinner or something. So it was like a 32-minute cycle. I was like, okay, cool. I'll go and put this in, press start, then I'll go to the shops, buy some dinner, and come back and cook it, and then I'll take it out, right? So I went to the shops, put the cycle on, went to the shops, came back, cooked dinner, and then after dinner, I went to the washing machine and the cycle was finished. However, someone else had put their washing in amongst mine. Now, I'm not a germaphobe and I don't have any diagnosis of OCD or anything, but to me that grossed me out so much. Who the hell? So did this person must have stopped the cycle. They couldn't wait 32 minutes. So they stopped the cycle, put their washing in and then just left it. So clearly they did have more than 32 minutes because I got to it before they did. And I was definitely over 32 minutes in my time of from cycle commencement to removal of cycle clothing. I thought that was pretty disgusting. I had to get my stuff out, right? So I had to like meddle with this person's like laundry. Oh God. Ugh. I mean, I know it's literally as clean as it's ever going to be, but at what cost? Didn't like that at all. So I've been traveling a little bit here and there this fortnight, but I'm back now and I'm here and ready to chat about live music. And look, it's a topic that I wanted to introduce and give it its own space because I often say this in my life that there's pure moments in life that make you forget about everything else and love the environment you're in and the people that are around you. And there's moments that just kind of capture your whole essence of what life is. And they're very rare and they're unique and they're special. And I think there's kind of two main reasons that these things can happen, or two main sort of mediums in which these moments can happen. The first one is travel. You know, going to experience a culture somewhere foreign, or putting yourself out there, going there somewhere on your own, or traveling with mates or whatever. The travel moments can give you that sense of, you know, you're not worried about anything else. And the other one is music related moments. And I think live music is probably the most profoundly eminent example of that. So I just wanted to chat. This one won't be too long, you know, this podcast. Just want to have a bit of a bloody chin wag and talk about some live music experiences I've had and why I think these moments are so cool. So funnily enough, I actually didn't go to a live concert sort of note until I was, must have been 18. I was 18 years old, and it was in Adelaide, and I went to a Laneway Festival in Adelaide. That was actually the first sort of live festival concert thing I'd ever been to, which is kind of unusual, seeming as I had been playing music for 11 years before that. I mean, I played at like kids' concerts and shit, and like, you know, I'm sure I saw, I mean, my mum was in a band, and I saw her play a lot, but they kind of had a set list which they played for like 10 years straight, which was mainly I'm a Believer. It was pretty much the Shrek soundtrack, I'm a Believer, Smash Mouth. So when I was at Laneway, I remember I was really excited to see Of Monsters and Men, that Icelandic band, indie rock, who play some pretty cool stuff. They had kind of similar themes to music I like, you know, or music I make, I should say. They talk about nature a lot and sort of creatures and life and passions and all that kind of thing. So I was very excited to see Of Monsters and Men, and I'll never forget, you know, waiting for them to start, and there was like the smoke machine and the lights and a bit of a hubbub in the crowd, if you will. And I thought, this is a cool moment. This is cool. Like there's an energy here in the air. There's an air of anticipation about what's about to happen on stage. And then there was like a sort of musical introduction, like a sort of hum or a hover of music, of a sound, I should say. They all walked on and then they started playing Dirty Paws. And I just remember that whole intro. It starts a bit slow, sort of, you know, that song, and then it goes into the drums and the full band kick in. They had, maybe 9 people on stage, a couple of guitarists, a couple of piano players, drummer. They had like a trumpet player. It was a cool setup, you know, it was like a full band thing. And then they ripped into the song, and I thought, yeah, this is one of those moments. So it was probably my first moment. And it stays with me today. And there's something in that, hey, that I can recount that memory. You know, I remember exactly where I was standing. I remember who was standing next to me. I remember the view, like to the side of the stage. I remember what they were wearing. I remember what they were saying in between songs. It's just another example that I've, you know, rattled on about for the last 20 weeks or whatever, about music and just what it can do, to your brain and its memory, assistance in memory, not loss, the opposite of loss, gain, maybe. Really cool. Interestingly enough, I Dirty Paws, so that was in 2013 when I saw that, at the start of 2013. And in, must have been August 2013, is actually when I wrote Mountain Man for the first edition of Mountain Man. And a lot of that was based, a lot of the song, the chords and the chord progression was kind of half loosely based off Dirty Paws by Of Monsters and Men. So there you go. It really, really stuck with me, clearly more than I realized. I didn't actually realize that I wrote that in the same year that I heard it live. Huh. Cool. Adelaide, by the way, gets such a bad rap from the eastern states in Australia. I lived in Adelaide for 3 years, and it was an absolutely glorious 3 years. For anyone that's thinking about visiting Adelaide, or anyone that's thinking about visiting Australia and where to go, Adelaide is essentially a large country town. It has 1.2 million people or something like that, but it's like the 20-minute city. It's 20 minutes from the beach, from the city center. It's 20 minutes to the mountains from the city center. And you can get everywhere easily. And I reckon within like 3 to 6 months of me being there, I started to like see people on the street. So it's a very friendly city. And it's got a great vibe. And yeah, I really liked Adelaide. I'd spent quite a lot of time there. My whole dad's side of the family lives in Adelaide. And my grandma and grandpa, we used to visit them all the time. Grandma was Polish. Well, they were both Polish. But she had a very particular relationship with food. So she would just cook all the time, like just cook for you all the time. And she would make some breakfast and she'd be like, okay, you eat now, eat. And then you eat it. And she would be not 2 millimeters from the side of your face staring at you eat. I thought, Grandma, what are you doing? She's like, I want to see you grow. I don't think that's how it works. Staring at me that close is not going to help too much. But alas, she did see me grow because she fed me, and now I'm a fat, balding, 27-year-old, got no future. Rest in peace. Anyway, but yes, Adelaide, I'm stealing content here, but I heard a very funny thing about Adelaide, and you travel around Australia. There's really only two variations of the Australian accent. There's a kind of cultivated general accent, which is sounds kind of normal. And then there's like the sort of nasal bogan bush pig accent, which is very nasally, an intonation at the end. Generally sounds like they've got a blocked nose the whole time. But yeah, there's kind of a variation of that, which is the Adelaide accent. And so to picture an Adelaide, or to understand an Adelaide accent, you have to picture a bungee jumper. So bungee jumper stands at the top and they jump down. And so they jump down and then the rope, you know, grabs tension and pulls them back up. And that's the same motion from jumping down and then coming back up, you know, back retracing your steps ever so slightly. That is the same path that a sentence of an Adelaidean will speak. So I'll give you an example. They're at the top, goes down, goes up. Say, g'day, mate. How you going? So it comes up a bit. G'day, mate. That's the top. How you going? So that's the bungee jump. And then there is a slight variation of that is when the bungee jump cord snaps and they fall. So it's like, g'day, mate. How you going? And you're like, oh, not too good, actually. Grandma's forcing me full of food. No way! Anyway, I stole that content and I thought that was kind of funny. But there you go. That's Adelaide for you. Had a great time. So that was kind of my first memory of live music. And then got a taste for it, got a hunger for it, got a knack for it, and really loved it. So did all my friends. And then we decided to go to Falls Festival, which is a four-night festival over the New Year's. There's a few locations, but the lads and the squad, we used to go to Lawn. And so there's a wonderful group of friends that I have. I hope we're still friends. Miss you, boys. We used to dress up in the same attire for the whole 4 days. There's about between 8 and 10 of us, depending on the year. But yeah, we would wear the same outlandish, dramatic statement of a uniform, and we would wear it the whole time. And we decided to call ourselves the same name as well, which was Kyle. So you may know the legacy of Kyle. But yeah, Kyle was who we were. We were one entity, one human spirit, Kyle. And the very first Falls Festival, I didn't know we were Kyle. Kyle formed at the first festival, right? But I came on day 2 of day 4. And so the lads had established themselves as Kyle whilst all wearing the same uniform. And so I drove down there on my own and I rocked up and I was walking around the camp. There wasn't much reception. There's, you know, 20,000 people there. So I kind of knew to an extent where they were, but I had to try and find them. And as I was walking through all the tents and through the big sort of village city thing, people kept looking at me going, "Kyle, Kyle," and like yelling, "Ah, look at me, fuck me, it's Kyle, Kyle, give us a wave." And I was like, "The fuck are these people doing? Why are they talking to me? Why are they calling me Kyle? I've got no idea." And I also thought, how much of a Kyle do I look like if so many people are missing? This Kyle must be a popular dude. Anyway, then the story was explained to me and thus we became the legacy of Kyle. 4 years, I think we went in a row, and Jesus, it was a slog. I don't think I can share many of the stories at Falls Festival. But we essentially, just to summarize, we would try and smuggle in as much illicit alcohol as possible. And then just absolutely annihilate that. It's a standard festival practice. But one particular innovative way that we came up with, which then became quite a fun game, was, you know, you can get the tub of like peaches, which is like, they're like sliced peaches in like brine almost. It's like peach juice, but it's like real thick. So it doesn't look like water. It's just like thick peach nectar. So we would take all the peach juice nectar out of it, leave the sliced peaches, but then we would fill it with vodka because it had like the same texture, the same color. And so we would then get to the festival and, you know, the security would inspect our site and inspect our cars and whatever. And bloody hell, you like peaches. Yeah, well, you know, five fruits and veg, big boy. And so then we would get to the camp, we'd set up our camp and we would play this wonderfully named game, Suck the Peach. Was it Suck the Peach? Blow the Peach. Suck the Peach. Blow the Peach. I think it was Blow the Peach. I think it was called Suck the Peach, but the essence was to blow it. So let me explain. We had a beer bong. It's a big funnel and then some PVC garden hose. And the beer bong was used for beer. But what we would do is we would lodge a peach because the peaches had soaked in all the vodka. So they were nasty. They were like alcohol-filled slice peaches. So anyway, you would wedge a slice of peach into the bottom, so the opposite end, the sort of sucking end of the beer bong. And then you would get down on a knee and then you would get a crowd of people a few meters away on the other side. Like markers up. So you play footy, you play markers up. Kick the ball into a crowd of people who are going to try and mark it. So the person would get down on their knees, aim the beer bong towards the group of people, and then as intensely and as powerful as they could, they would blow, and they would blow into the beer bong, and the peach would shoot out and out of the other end of the beer bong. And then into the crowd of people. And you had to, I don't think you could use your hands. And you had to, with your mouth, try and catch the sucked peach full of vodka. So, you know, it was debaucherous. And it was a great game that we should probably get a patent pending on it. Because that's pretty magical. Anyway, oh God, I miss Falls, man. I miss that kind of shit. Holy moly. Are we too old? I guess I am too old now. Anyway, there's some memories from Falls Festival which will stay with me forever. You know, there was something about the New Year's Eve day. It was usually the last day when we were in Lawn. And, you know, it'd be like sort of 6, 7 p.m. It's summer in Australia. It's beautiful landscape. You're with your best mates. You're surrounded by awesome people. And we would do this like hour of power, and we would try and, you know, drink as much as we could, get real, you know, lovey and juicy and fruity. And then we would head into the main festival ground, and it was on this hill, and you'd enter it like the raised bit of the hill, and you'd look down, and there's just like 20,000 people who all have this same feeling of like immense happiness and joy and bliss and love, and not hippie shit. I mean, hippie shit's fine, but it was like, I was just awesome, man. Just awesome. And you'd put your arm around your mates and you'd be like, boys, how good is this? You had some epic music, bring in the new year, and oh, holy moly. That was some real, pure, raw enjoyment. There aren't too many, just thinking about this, man, I cannot wipe a smile off my face. There's not too many moments, I think, in my life that were as good as those moments at Falls. Just the brilliance of being like, you know what? I am exactly where I need to be right now. And I am not going to worry about a goddamn single thing other than this moment right now. Yes, it's powerful, real magical. There was one, oh man, I won't riff too much, but there was one festival where I was dealing with some lady troubles. And was very down and grim and didn't feel great. We went, I kind of finished the lady troubles. That sounds a bit morbid, but there was a problem. It was resolved. And then I was kind of, you know, in the recovery phase of this sort of traumatic experience. And I was ready to enjoy, but needed a bit of a prompt, you know, to enjoy the night. And the Wombats were playing. And Techno Fan came on. And that's a good song. I like that song. Techno Fan came on by the Wombats, and Jim, my mate, Porridge, big sauce Trunter. I'm a big boy, right? I'm a small big boy. I'm what I like to refer to as strong fat. Trying to get skinny strong, but strong fat. Anyway, so I didn't like to be lifted very much, you know, body confidence issues and whatever. And was still a bit sort of tentative from this trouble earlier in the day. But Big Jim picked me up. He wouldn't take no for an answer. And he put me on his shoulders. And I was on top of the world. You know, Techno Fan by the Wombats was playing. I was looking out to this sea of people. Had, you know, one of my best mates lifting me up, helping me out. All my other best mates helping me out just by the side. And that was a moment that I won't forget either. Yeah, that was real nice. Later in that night, Rufus played In a Bloom. Oh, God, that is 9 minutes of sex, that song. I think it's 9 minutes, but it's a long song. But geez, that is an epic, epic song. It was like the dead of night by then. And we had this like 25-person strong circle, and we were just dancing and not mosh pitting, just dancing and running around and being idiots and running into bins. And that was another moment where I was like, yeah, the music is performing a function here, you know. Really, really, really good times. And I think these moments are important, you know. A lot of that shit I just talked about is kind of a bit silly because we were drunk a lot, but it's memories, and it's stuck with me, and I'll remember it forever. And you know, it doesn't have to be like a live festival 4 days where you're bloody covered in shit and you're smuggling in peach vodka. You can have these moments that just like, you know, when you're having dinner and there's live music in the background. There's something about the moment. It just like brings out this passion in the artist. It creates this realm for the listener to go, you know what? It's not all that bad, you know? It's not all that bad at this particular moment in time. I can take this moment and listen to this song and join in this family and this community that is being created by this live music. And whether that's a, you know, moment of personal identity formation, or whether it's a moment of connection with a group, It's a real powerful force in Europe. In music. The reason I just said Europe is because I was just going to finish off with a story about Europe, and I was just kind of thinking in my head. I don't need to explain to you. Piss off. But anyway, when I was a tour guide, I did a tour from Melbourne to Darwin. I had like 12 days off. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to Europe. And I flew to Europe and I went to see my top three favorite bands ever. And it was Mumford & Sons and Gang of Youths playing at the same concert. And I saw it in Köln in Germany. And so, yeah, we saw a Gang of Youths were opening for Mumford & Sons. And Gang of Youths were probably somewhat unknown to the German audience there. But, man, I just sat in that arena and just pumped out every song and singing. And then all of the German people around me were like, oh, you'll know this band well. And then we, like, had a good old dance with each other. And that was a nice moment. Mumford & Sons came out and just absolutely killed it. And then they joined each other on stage towards the end and they played a cover of Blood by the Middle East. And I get fangirly. Hey, I get like real like obsessed with people that I admire. And there's probably no two people I admire more than Dave Leo Pepe and Marcus Mumford. And there they were on stage together. Here I was halfway across the world and watching my two idols play an absolutely beautifully awesome cover together. You know, it's worth traveling for. It's worth finding a way to experience the glory of live music. So there you go. Another episode done. More riffing and ranting, and I thank you very much for your time. Yeah, this is leading to some cool things. We're almost at the interview stage. I've got one more sort of introductory topic that I just want to talk about, which is actually going to help explain the future of this podcast quite a lot. And then I'm going to interview some people. If you've been listening to this and you think, you know, you want to have a chat with me about what you love about music, yeah, just hit me up, you know. Let's have a chat. Let's have an interview. Let's listen to your stories. Let's ask some stuff. So that's the next phase of this, which would be really cool. Just after the last thing in 2 weeks. So yeah, you all have a wonderful 2 weeks. I'll catch you again soon. Anyone got any questions, thoughts, comments, whatever? Follow my socials, and that's where you can reach me. In the meantime, keep eating. I want to see you grow. Good night, everybody.